Welcome to the Global Heart Podcast. I'm your host, Pablo Perel, Senior Science Advisor at the World Heart Federation. In this podcast, we discuss the latest cardiovascular research from Global Heart and other journals with leading experts in the field. For our first 2025 episode, we have a very special privilege. We're welcoming Dr. Raul Santos, the new Global Heart Editor-in-Chief from University of São Paulo, Brazil, and Dr. Jagan Narula, the new WHF President, Executive Vice President and Chief Academic Officer at the University of Texas Health, Houston, USA. We will discuss their vision and plans for Global Heart and the World Heart Federation to advance global cardiovascular research, so please stay tuned. Thank you both for joining, Raul, Jagat. I'm really excited to have the opportunity to talk with both of you, so a very warm welcome.
Pleasure as always.
Thank you. It's really good to be with you.
We'll be hearing from Jagat and his vision from WHF, but first, let's start with you, Raul, as new editor-in-chief of Global Heart. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your main area of research?
Of course. So again, it's a real privilege to address all our listeners and to be able to join the WHF family. So I'm a preventive cardiologist from São Paulo. Basically, my expertise is in lipids. I'm also a lipidologist. I see lots of patients with familial hypercholesterolemia, genetic dyslipidemias. I also do epidemiological research at the ELSA Brazil Epidemiological Study, and also at the Hospital Albert Einstein in São Paulo, where we have a big cohort of healthy people. And I'm also have an eye for the imaging. I know Jagat is an expert on that, much greater than I am. But I also think imaging can help a lot in identifying people at higher risk of events. And I've been working on this for more than 30 years. And I'm very happy because I was able to interact with colleagues from different parts of the world, do a lot of collaborative research. And I was able to develop some reputation in my field, especially FH, familial hypercholesterolemia. We've done epidemiological studies, genetic studies, imaging studies, tested newer therapies for reduced lipids in these people. As I said, I think one of the biggest, let's say, good things about my career was really able to interact. So I was able to do research with colleagues from all over the world, US, Europe. So I'm really very, very thrilled to be here.
Thank you, Raul, for that. And I would like to know what motivated you to apply for the role of editor-in-chief of Global Heart.
You know, I think I'm on a phase of my career that I already accomplished a lot in publishing and also did lots of work in journals like Atherosclerosis, European Journal of Preventive Cardiology, Journal of Clinical Lipidology as an associate editor. I see this opportunity of joining Global Heart really as a possibility of using these skills that I gained in working with the other journals and really try to make the journal thrive. I see Global Heart as an amazing tool for researchers from all over the world, especially underserved areas, low middle income countries. And I see it as a tool to really, show the science that is done, especially outside the big centers in the US and Europe, Canada. And so that motivated me of really being able to work with the journal. And I see the WHF as an amazing entity with a nice goal that I align a lot, that is promoting cardiovascular health, reducing the burden of disease. And so I see it as first as an opportunity and second also as mission and being able to collaborate with WHF on attaining its goals. At the same time, Pablo, I think to me, it's a challenge, right? Because assuming the responsibility of not only keeping the reputation and the level that the journal has achieved during the years, but also trying to increase its impact, increase its reach, and at the same time aligning with the goals of WHF. So I say it's always a pleasure, at the same time always a challenge, but I'm really very happy to be able to work with WHF, as I see as a very important entity nowadays.
Thank you, Raul. And yeah, I think it's a nice challenge, as you said. You cover a little bit what's your vision of what Global Heart should be, but can you give us some examples of new strategies or changes that you envision for the journal?
The journal needs to be inclusive, needs to give opportunities for scientists, physicians from different areas of the world. But at the same time, we need to publish good science. We need to publish good papers because journals, unfortunately, they are measured by their impact factor, right? So, and I think one of the missions that I have is to really increase the visibility of our papers and publish better papers. And for that, basically what we're doing is to really, let's say, refurbishing our editorial board, right? So really being making a mix of more experienced and younger emerging leaders in these fields, putting this team to work together and sharing responsibilities and sharing tasks and let's say make teamwork. And I think that this will make the difference because we'll be able to discuss what we believe is more adequate for the journal, for the publications, to be fair with people who submit the papers to us and makes things move forward. So I think wanted to really have this new strategic editorial board that can really make decisions, can really set the goals and how we will handle the journal. The second thing is to really, let's say, increase the visibility of the papers that we'll be publishing in the journal, you know, and to really use WHF's structure to communicate, because nowadays we have lots of social media. It's not only this, the citations of the papers, but how the paper circulates between internet, between all the platforms that we have. And third, I think it's really important is to align the journal with the, let's say, with the policies of the World Heart Federation and to use it to disseminate the white papers, the roadmaps, the statements, and really be able to bring the information and what the Federation wants really to do and help it in achieve its goals to reduce the burden of diseases.
Thank you, Raul. And we are really looking forward to see all these changes and new energy that you're bringing to the journal. So let's move to you, Jagat. And as I said, we have the privilege to have Jagat here in Geneva. He is here with us as World Heart Federation president. But before moving to WHF, it would be good to hear from you a little bit about your personal journey from the academic perspective and your main area of research.
Thank you, Pablo, for having me here. And it is indeed a pleasure to be with Raul and with you, the new editor-in-chief of the journal and the executive editor of the journal. So it's truly a pleasure to be together with you here. As you know, I was born and brought up in India, and I did my cardiology fellowship as well as my PhD in cardiovascular immunology from All India Institute of Medical Sciences in New Delhi before I moved to Massachusetts General Hospital and Harvard Medical School in Boston, where I had the opportunity to do cardiology training, cardiovascular imaging training, as well as the training in heart failure and transplantation before I started on to my faculty appointment and academic journey. As far as the research is concerned, I started my career as a molecular imager, and soon it turned into more of a clinical imaging as I was pursuing the clinical imaging at in Boston. The two areas where I feel that I have been able to do the most or contribute the most, I think the first one would be the apoptosis in cardiovascular system, predominantly in heart failure, also in the transplantation and atherosclerosis, and what is the role of pathological apoptosis, and then taking it further on to even image apoptosis. But more importantly, which became a later interest of mine, and that was trying to identify the histological characterization of the plaques which are likely to result in acute coronary events. So trying to identify the plaques which are vulnerable to rupture and trying to image them by CT angiography and other intravascular as well as the non-invasive techniques. And then finally, as one moves ahead in life, the biggest fulfillment has come from now my involvement in the research in global health and the population health. And that has been the most fulfilling part of my journey.
That's fascinating to hear, Jagadhan. I'm sure I'll come back to both of your research areas to ask you some specific questions. But before that, maybe, and continuing with Global Heart, you were the first editor-in-chief of Global Heart. You initiated the journal. So maybe you can share with us, why did you start with the journal? What was your vision?
Any organization, it has to have its platform where it is able to publish its research, it's provides a platform to its readers, as well as offers the platform to the authors where they can express. So at that point in time, when I was brought in for this role by the World Heart Federation, for which I'm truly grateful, and that was 2010, at that time we did have a journal which was not in continuous publication. It was called the Journal of Cardiovascular Disease Control and Prevention. And when I was brought in, I really wanted to give it a new name, a new feel, a new look. And the name of the journal was also quite a mouthful. It was not on the National Library of Medicine. It was not indexed there, so it was not on PubMed. So that, looking at everything, we gave a new name to it, which is a very apt name for World Heart Federation. That was the Global Heart, and it became quite a catchy name when we started it. And as you would see, that there are always, when you are starting a new journal, there are always the challenges and there are always the opportunities, and they go hand in hand. The most important thing was that you have a journal, you do not have an impact factor, it is not indexed in National Library of Medicine. Why would somebody really submit the articles to that kind of a journal? And so that becomes the biggest challenge for a new journal. But we were fortunate that we were able to invoke some of the best authors in the field, including those who were in the leadership of the World Heart Federation. We started to create the thematic issues. And we were fortunate that that was the year when the first United Nations high-level meeting had occurred. And we were able to create the first issue of the journal, which was dedicated to the first high-level meeting. And it brought in the recommendations of which were created at the Institute of Medicine with the help of the National Institutes of Health. And it was something which was led by my mentor, Dr. Valentin Fuster, who was a previous president of the World Heart Federation, as well as my another mentor, Dr. K. Srinath Reddy, who also happened to be the past president of the World Heart Federation. And I was fortunate to work with them. Three of us were the cardiologists on the team, and who created those recommendations, which we put forth in 2011 as the way to promote the cardiovascular health. And then gradually we followed them with multiple thematic issues, and the journal started to pick up steam. People started to notice it. And as you can imagine, that it is the platform which requires both the audience as well as the authors. And it started to gather decent articles. We were lucky that we were able to submit a successful application to the National Library of Medicine, and we were accepted to the PubMed at that time. So when it comes to the challenges, I would say that obviously in the initial days, getting the right kind of articles then getting them to getting it to the PubMed indexing, and then providing a platform which we can offer to our constituents, including the low and middle income countries. That is the biggest challenge, and getting the good articles from there and being able to provide them with a platform for its publication. That was the biggest fulfillment and an opportunity which I am proud of.
Thank you, Jagat. And I think you're still one of the senior editorial editors advisors at the journal, and we're still looking for your advice moving forward. I don't know if you have any other recommendation or suggestion that you might have at this stage for Raul as new editor-in-chief for the journal.
So Raul is a very experienced editor, and I don't think that I really need to offer any advice to him. He is an outstanding researcher and investigator. He has seen it all. He has worked with the preventive cardiology journals. He had worked with the atherosclerosis journal. He has been in the leadership positions in atherosclerosis, and some of the finest papers have come from his clinical trials. So I don't think I have much to offer in terms of advice to him. But the two important things that I would always say, which I've said in my previous response to you also, that our focus is low and middle income countries, trying to provide a platform to those people or those constituencies which are otherwise not able to make it to the big journals, but yet provide them a platform where they can do it without needing to invest a lot of finances. And my biggest advice to Howell would be to make sure that we keep it in open access so that everybody is able to seek those articles, but simultaneously find the ways to make it free for all in terms of their publications. So the article publishing charges should not be invoked, and everybody should be able to get it without paying the cost for it, but simultaneously have an opportunity to get it as an open access so that it is widely available, widely usable, and widely applicable.
So not only equity is a key aspect of the research that we do, but also in terms of how we present research and how we want everyone to access the research that Global Heart report. Before moving to some more specific questions on research, I mean, as I mentioned, you're also new WHF president. So beyond Global Heart, what WHF will be doing for strengthening global cardiovascular research?
So when it comes to the global cardiovascular research, we really need to enforce the collaborative efforts across the globe. Now, what is the most important asset of any organization is something what you always call as the emerging leaders. You need to groom a generation of the investigators who will take the field forward, and we need to pass our batons too. And I thank you for that particularly, because you are dedicated to and immensely involved in grooming of the Saleem Yusuf Emerging Leading Program. And again, grateful to Dr. Yusuf, who initiated who formalized that Emerging Leader Program by his generous and significant philanthropic efforts. This group of participants that we are able to get from various parts of the world, so many people apply, and you choose the best of them. These are the nuggets for us. These are the gems who are going to take the field forward. So I think this would be one of the most important ambitions, as well as the effort on part of World Heart Federation, that we bring them closer. We try and help them develop good protocols which they can work together and develop the significant and substantial research coming out of these areas. So that would be one important thing that I would like to see happen more frequently and on a much larger scale. And the second thing that I would look forward to is, and again, a place where you are very, very closely involved, that is the roadmaps, which are the implementation of the guidelines that we have seen from the major societies and our strategic partners like the American Heart Association, American College of Cardiology, and the European Society of Cardiology, that we are able to take them to the masses. So a research is needed, implementation research and implementation science is needed to bring it to those levels, which would obviously involve both the science and the advocacy research in the area. So to summarize, I think I would have two asks here, better training and grooming of our emerging leaders, and secondly, trying to get the guidelines to the masses through our roadmaps.
And this is actually very aligned in Global Heart. Now we have many of the emerging leaders being part of the strategic editorial team that Raul mentioned, and they're more involved. And also for those listening to the podcast, please look at the Emerging Leaders Program. It's, as Jagat mentioned, the Salim Yusuf Emerging Leaders Program. The next one this year is going to be hosted by Dr. Jagat Narula in Houston, and we're going to open very soon. So keep looking at the website, because you will find it's going to be a fascinating event in late in October this year. But let me maybe ask you a little bit more kind of specific questions about research, and for our audience, that many of them, of course, they conduct research, they're interested in research in low and middle income countries. And both of you, you work on cutting edge research. And I want to dive deeper in some of the things. So, for example, you, Raul, you work on LP little a or new cholesterol lowering treatments. And sometimes when you look at the reality in low and middle income countries, that, I mean, a large proportion of secondary prevention population is not receiving even statin. What's the research agenda in low and middle income countries for things like that, LP little a or novel or cholesterol lowering treatments? Is there any research agenda that is a priority for you?
Yes, Pablo, definitely. We know that first, LP(a) is independently associated with the greater risk of events, and 1 in 5 people all over the world, I guess it's not so much different here in Brazil, for instance, has high levels. And the second is that statins can make a lot of difference to reduce the risk of disease. Now, we're working hard in really understanding the epidemiology of LP(a) in low-middle-income countries, because most of the epidemiological studies came from Scandinavia. So definitely we must check how LP(a) behaves in different people. So we have initiatives in Latin America. We have initiatives in Arabic countries, Southeast Asia, to really understand how LP(a) behaves in our populations. And the second, as you said, because we know statins are available all over the world and they are not used. And okay, we have amazing PCSK9 inhibitors that can make a lot of difference. But in countries like mine, the access to these drugs is really hard. And we don't even do, let's say, our homework in prescribing adequate doses of statins to people who are most at risk. We have published last year one paper in the Lancet Regional Health Americas showing that in the primary care in Brazil, secondary prevention, less than 10% of people with MI were in use of statins. So this is something very bad. And then we have to work actually on developing research in order to understand why is that the case, and really try to change that reality. So this is one of the things that I'm working now with my team at Albert Einstein Hospital, is really trying to implement ways of improving the control of LDL cholesterol with the tools that we have available. And of course, we have to expect that in the future, that the newer therapies that I was able to test in many patients in my country, in the clinical trials, really be more, let's say, affordable and be more available to treat those who remain at high risk despite the use of the statins. So I think it's a challenge, but I believe that we can make a lot of difference if we put effort in really understanding and implementing the guidelines that we have, you know,
So epidemiological studies and implementation science studies for the treatments we have. And moving to you, Jagat, you work on imaging and CT scanning, the vulnerable plaque, a lot of concepts that are key and very exciting in cardiology. But sometimes I think when we think about settings like sub-Saharan Africa or in certain areas of Latin America or Asia, that we don't have much resources. What's the research agenda in terms of all this kind of cutting-edge research that you do?
That's a very contentious question. When you start looking at these imaging technologies or the advanced imaging technologies, or even when you start looking at the surrogate markers, for example, making assumptions based on just simple electrocardiograms or retinal pictures or things like that driven by the artificial intelligence, that is not what we should be looking for when we are going into the implementation of the science that we know, and we want to take care of the cardiovascular diseases in the low and middle income countries. We have made significant progress in the management of cardiovascular diseases, and we know that the mortality has come down significant after the cardiovascular events. However, the cardiovascular diseases are increasing and remain the number one cause of death in both men and women. And unfortunately, the majority of these deaths are occurring in the low and middle income countries where the resources are challenged. Now, what do we really need to do there, and how do we reach out to the bottom billions, as you just said, for the sub-Saharan Africa and some of the other places in the southern parts of the hemisphere? The fact remains that we need to develop a kind of educational awareness both for the population as well as for the healthcare providers. We need to ensure that it is not only the specialist or a cardiologist who is needed to take care of these patients. We need to reach out to the primary care physicians, to the family physicians, to the nurse practitioners, to the physician extenders or the health extenders, as we call them as, and trying to train them into the implementation science as to how to take care of the hyperlipidemia, how to ensure or enforce the cigarette smoking, how to manage the blood pressure, how to improve the dietary habits, how to improve the physical activity, how to take care of the high sugar and all, so that we are able to nip these diseases in bud. That would be the most important challenge to us. That is where the WHF needs to be working for, and that is the place where the efforts of Howell and you are really needed to get this across to the both investigators as well as to the practitioners in those areas, and make your focus or make your fulcrum that we need to reach out to each and every one of them. We need to create an awareness, and we need to make sure that these needies, they are able to make the necessary changes in their lifestyle, their way they treat the risk factors. Not only that, obviously our advocacy would really be needed at a much bigger level in terms of helping their social and physical environment as well. For example, looking at the air pollution, looking at the pollution inside the kitchens, the indoor air pollution and things like that, and also looking at how we can incorporate the local context there. So we need to be culturally sensitive, we need to be contextually specific, we need to be equity enforcing, and we need to be resource optimizing here. That would be the most important challenge for us, and work lies ahead of us, and a journal as our organ of dissemination of knowledge happens to be one of the most important opportunities that we need to exploit to its best.
Thank you, Jack. And I think definitely, I know we have the same mindset and approach. And I mean, the reason why I ask this question is sometimes we think that the latest technology might be associated with, I mean, the kind of more interesting research. But I think for me, at least, the best research is the one that have the more relevant questions according to the context. And of course, in certain contexts, like the one we work, we are interested in Global Heart, might not have the same research questions that in places like high-income countries. Still, I guess technology might have an important role, but maybe for where we don't have doctors, not only cardiologists, we might work in settings where there are no doctors, and how AI can help some of the delivery of some of these, that has an important potential.
Absolutely, absolutely, Pablo. You said it so well. I don't think I have much to add to it, but this will be a challenge for you later this year when you come to Houston with our new emerging leaders. The proposal this year is going to be, as you very well know, cardio for communities on phone using the mHealth, using the artificial intelligence empowered implementation for the promotion of the cardiovascular health. That will be the goal, that will be the challenge, and we need to work on it together to its best.
Fascinating challenge that I'm sure will be impactful. So to finish, we always ask our guests to define in a few sentences what you understand by global cardiovascular research. Raul, if you want to start first.
I think it's a challenge, right? But definitely the world is heterogeneous, right? Certainly there are things that are equal for all of us, but also there are things that are very different and are pertinent to some regions of the world. So I think it has to be a mix, you know, of things that are common, but also things that are important for some reasons, and to really better understand what's going on, the issues, and try to come to with solutions to reduce, for us as cardiologists, right, as vascular physicians, what matters most, and it's common everywhere, that is the burden of disease and to prevent disease and to treat better our patients. And I think we can come with information that can make the difference in different areas of the world.
Okay, thank you, Raul. Jagat?
It is a very gravid term, if I could say, in succinct terms, that global cardiovascular health, the important part here is that we now know that the world is all kind of moving centripetally towards the cities. The villages are vanishing. The urbanization or semi-urbanization is rapidly happening. And as you know, that soon we would see that most of the world is living in the cities or around the cities, which bring in a very different challenge to the global cardiovascular health. And as we have been discussing over the last 2 days that I have been in Geneva, the talk about the risk potentiators, the risk facilitators, the risk promoters, which all come with the urbanization or urban health, which may include factors like pollution, stress, social isolation, lack of availability of the healthy means of transportation, lack of availability for the physical activity, and so many other things which we really are facing or would be facing more and more over the coming years. It behooves us to think about the cardiovascular health or the research in cardiovascular health with a very different set of glasses. That is going to be a precision population health. You need to better collect the data. You need to better analyze the data. And you need to develop the strategies which are driven towards providing a better care, which is, as you said just now, it has got to be contextually specific, and it needs to be targeted and geared in a way that we can provide an equitable opportunities for a better and healthier living, for our better and healthier future for the next generation to come.
Thank you, Jagat. And I think, I'm sure for the audience, we touch on so many things that we can do an episode on that, on urban health or AI and implementation, and we will continue touching on these issues. Again, I want to thank you both for joining us. It has been a fascinating conversation. To our listeners, stay tuned for our monthly Global Heart podcast, where we'll continue to explore the latest in global cardiovascular research. Thanks for listening, and until next time.
Honored to be with you, Pablo. Thank you.
Thank you very much.